And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, the West Coast, California, is burning down. And it brings to mind that old expression, socialism is when you have a fire and the fire department comes to put it out. Capitalism is when the insurance company cancels your insurance. You told me that, so I know you remember it.
Yep. The fires out there are a metaphor or a jumping off point for a lot of different issues that we've been talking about or the face of the country on a lot of different levels, particularly with regard to regulations, freedom, things like that. You know, the
role of government, the role of public power,
public policy. Versus private things. And of course, California's, first of all, being so large.
Well, let's get things straight. Now, is it the case that the fire is caused by the fact that there are women firefighters?
Well, if you follow X and the MAGA online media, yeah. It's part of the problem, the DEI thing.
That's what they say, right?
Yeah, that you elect incompetent people because of their race or their gender, and this is what you get. You get firefighters who can't fight the blazes, or you get public officials who can't manage things. Of course, they never talk about the incompetence of white males in running things.
But the fact is, the fire department out there are very competent.
Yeah, they are. There was, you know, question as to their funding, but nobody was complaining about not having to raise taxes to give them extra money. But when they don't get the extra money and these things happen, then they complain about that, too.
Trump said that if Newsom doesn't divert more water to the corporate farms in Northern California, then he, this is what he said in 2024 on the campaign trail, then he, right, Trump, would see to it that they don't get any money to fight the fires. And he said if Newsom doesn't get the money to fight the fires, he's in a lot of trouble. Why is Newsom in a lot of trouble? It seems to me the people of California whose homes are burning down, they're the ones who are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, like Trump is, we create the problems and blame someone else.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And, of course, the waters in Northern California, in terms of firefighting, have nothing to do with what's happening in the South, in L.A.
No.
You won't learn that from following X. What my understanding is that the reservoirs were full. There were certain things that hydrants that went dry, but the demand.
The hydrants went dry because of the fact that the hydrants are engineered and the water system is the firefighting water system is engineered to take care of two fires per block, not an entire neighborhood.
Right. The demand is just excessive.
Yeah.
And the way the fires, the rapidity of the spreading,
right,
was excessive.
In other words, the climactic conditions is what is to blame. And that's precisely what MAGA, all the anti-science people, all the people like Kennedy and Trump, that's all they talk against. Their whole point is the climate crisis doesn't exist. It's all made up. It's all a conspiracy to force you to live poorly. And here comes the fire, which is caused, exacerbated, really caused by conditions brought about by the change in the climate.
Right. Well, the other thing is that there's a lot of building that occurs in places that are more vulnerable to fires. But if California were to prevent people from building there, then these libertarians would be yelling the opposite, that they have no business telling people where they should want to live.
Correct. So, that's what they do say, right?
Yeah, that's what they do say. And we shouldn't forget the fact that this just isn't only in California. California is maybe the most current extreme example. They've been having fires now, problems for years and years. But look at Florida. People can't get insurance because the hurricanes are more frequent and worse. You have that problem in parts of Texas. You have Louisiana. You have these problems where you can't get insurance. North Carolina, where people wanted to have the freedom to build on the outer banks and the beaches, and then their houses get destroyed, and then they expect to have insurance bail them out so they can rebuild these houses. In the same place.
Yeah.
Or in certain areas, like in hurricane areas, that where the government comes in and says, after Hurricane Andrew, you have to build to a different code, which costs more in construction costs. I know in California, for instance, they've had construction codes for earthquakes for a long time. And you don't see that terrible destruction, massive destruction, when an earthquake hits, because the newer buildings that are predominant now are more damage proof or damage mitigating. It's the older buildings. If you remember the Northridge earthquake up San Francisco and Oakland, they had the problem in San Francisco was that the ground that these houses or these buildings have been built on was landfill, and it wasn't stable, so it turned to liquid when it got shook. But if they didn't allow people to build there, that never would have happened. So there's a confluence of all of these.
So you have natural disasters confronting the country, and the people who are coming in to run the country deny that these natural disasters are taking place, right?
Well,
and they say we should ignore
place,
it.
But the causes of these natural disasters or the prevention of these natural disasters by certain means can't happen. They don't want to talk about that.
No.
They want to talk about women and blacks and minorities type of thing.
And blame them for the natural disaster.
Right. Right.
Well, that'll certainly work.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if you drive around my county in the mountains of northeastern Pennsylvania, you cannot avoid seeing the effects of long-term drought. The fact is that lots of ponds that existed a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, have become meadows. That means the water table has dropped. That means that's the effect of drought. Nobody up here is draining that water. The water table is falling. The rainfall is not what it was. That's here in the mountains.
And we're in an area that usually gets a lot of rainfall, more than adequate rainfall.
That's right. But but we've had a water table that's in crisis now for at least a dozen years.
I'm wondering whether that has anything to do with the continued loss of population in Susquehanna County. I think I sent you a week or so ago the Census Bureau's estimates, and Susquehanna was now one of the top two or three counties that continues to lose population, again over 7%.
Well, you know, it lost between censuses, it lost 11%.
Yeah. Now we're talking another 7, I think Wyoming County and Forest County. But Forest County, things get distorted because there's so few people that live there in the first place. You know, you're talking about
well, that'll be the case here pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's got a multiplier effect.
Right. Well, and, of course, this county is the, if not the most productive county in terms of oil and gas extraction, certainly one of the top three most productive counties in terms of gas production, and hasn't benefited the county one bit. People, as you say, people are fleeing. If it had benefited the county, people would be pouring in.
Yeah, and just the opposite is happening.
Yeah, but,
and you know, there are some people that are just happy about this, or more than are content about this.
How can they be content?
They're content. They what? I don't need nobody. I just want to be left alone. Type of people.
Fine, you'll be left alone. You'll have no roads. There'll be no grid, electricity grid. There'll be no stores. You'll be living a Robinson Crusoe life.
Yeah, but you know, their kids are already gone. They don't care about that. They just see what's in front of them from day to day, and not, you know, they're not long term strategic or planning type of people. This is the way it used to be, and this is the way I want it to be in the future. Actually, it wasn't the way it used to be. Susquehanna used to have a higher population.
And of course, because the way the political system is set up, it's real estate that is represented in the state legislatures, not people.
Yep.
The more the population diminishes, the more certain it is that these reactionaries will control the state legislature, because there'll be fewer of them in all of these rural areas. And the ones who will remain will be the ones who, as you say, manage to overlook, ignore, or deny the conditions that they're living in.
Yeah, and they're going to get...
No, so large, meanwhile, meanwhile, you'll have 70% of the or 80% of the population living in a couple of urban centers, but they won't control the majority of the state legislature, and therefore they won't control social policy.
Well, you know, and that'll, you know, theoretically that should modify itself with the census and the reapportionment, the realignment, but that's going to depend on also the control of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which changed things dramatically when the Democrats were able to gain control. And this year, the three leading Democrats for that are up for retention election. And the Republicans are going to put in an all-out effort. You can expect to see Jeffrey Az pouring money into these organizations, these AstroTurf organizations that he'll launder money through, basically, to attack these three judges.
Yeah, and they'll raise issues like they're taking away your religious rights, they're taking away your individual
your
freedom,
yeah.
They're forcing you, they're going to force your kids to change sex, and people will buy it.
Yeah, so we're gonna have that that coming up by the end of the year. And
how are the Democrats equipped to counter this? Are they?
That's interesting. They really don't have.
Interesting doesn't sound good.
They don't seem to have a lot of party leadership on this thing. We saw something happen again. Remember in the last legislature, the Democrats got control by one vote. It was 102 to 101. And then four or five different times during the legislative session, they lost control because somebody in their party decided to either quit or run for another office or got elected to another office. And it produced a stalemate in the legislature where nothing could be done. It got down to 101. Or even Republicans 101 to 100 until they had special elections. I noted that this year, again, the same thing occurred. This is the new legislature, just got elected. And unfortunately, one of the Democrats had some sort of, they call it a medical crisis. It sounds like a stroke or something like that, and hasn't been able to attend the sessions, which tied the legislature up to 101-101, effectively. They're still a member of the legislature, but they're just not participating at this point. But somehow they managed to have a an accommodation that occurred where the Republicans allowed the head of the Democrats to be elected as the head of the House, the Speaker of the House. And I guess there were some concessions made on certain things, what's going to be brought up or what isn't going to be brought up or what have you. I was kind of surprised at that, that the Republicans didn't try to be more obstructive in that. But we'll see.
Well, maybe they figured it didn't matter because they, in the end, can be as obstructive as they want to be because they control the state Senate.
They control the state Senate,
yeah.
Right. And they maintain, the Democrats thought they had a shot at least lowering their disadvantage, and they didn't. They failed. What happened is they got upset in one district around Philadelphia, and they won a district that they had hoped to flip somewhere else, but it didn't change because of the upset, didn't change the math in the state Senate. So,
well, the Democratic state, the problem that the Democrats have is that, generally speaking, their whole strategy for elections is they got a lock on Philadelphia. They turn out and get the margin in Philadelphia, and that offsets everything in the rest of the state, more or less. And so they don't have to do anything in the rest of the state. And, of course, Pittsburgh and Harrisburg now count, too. But fundamentally, it's Philadelphia. But in Philadelphia, their margin has continuously decreased, and the margin in 2024 was the lowest margin coming out of Philadelphia since the year 2000. So they've completely fallen down in producing the results that their own strategy requires.
Yeah, they don't seem capable of doing anything of that. And I keep harping about Luzerne County. And
which is important, but if you don't get Philadelphia the way it's supposed to be, right, you can forget about the rest of Luzerne County. Right. It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, Philly is still the big enchilada, so to speak, there, and the suburbs, which were stopped turning more Democratic this last cycle, and the Democrats really have to stand back and say, what is it about our brand that we're not attracting new people, and we're losing old people, and they don't seem to be capable of doing that. A lot of it is messaging, but they don't seem to know how to message or where to message. The trend is not their friend at this point. The trend is not their friend.
But how is it possible they don't know how to message? I mean, they're swamped with professionals who study this and do this, and that's what their whole life is all about. How is it possible that they manage to hire the only ones who don't know how to do the job that they profess to be experts in?
Well, I think in part it's because of the diversity of their policies and their coalition, that they can't find something central that appeals to everybody. That they want to appeal to. I think that's a big part of it. Secondly, the way I think it has to do with psychologically how Democrats think versus how Republicans think. The Democrats think in more complex terms, and the Republicans see things in more black and white terms. So it's very easy to message in black and white. It's not easy to message in complex terms, because people don't process things in complex terms. It's far easier to listen.
Well, you say they, but who is the they? Who's running the show? I don't know who's running the show. I mean, in my county, no one's running the show. They don't have to worry in the county about what policies to support and what policies not to support, because they never consider policy. On the state level, who's in charge? Nobody's in charge, as far as I can see. Whoever becomes the candidate, whoever can put enough money together to become the candidate, she's in charge.
That's been true in the Democratic Party, particularly since Milton Schaaf came along back in the late 60s, early 70s, where he went against the party machine, and he was a multimillionaire, and he used his money to outflank them. And they've never fully recovered from that. It's now everybody, it's every candidate on his or her alone.
Exactly. And what's to stop in the rural counties? Let's just look at the rural counties. What's to stop in the rural counties where the Republicans have an advantage over the Democrats, usually 2-3-1? Certainly, right. That's the way it is in my county. What's to stop a group of these Republicans from deciding in a coordinated way, switch their party registration, decide to become Democrats for the purposes of stealing the nomination in the upcoming primary, and having, therefore, Democrat MAGA candidates and Republican MAGA candidates? Who would stop it? How could it be stopped? It couldn't be. There's no structural way to stop it. It can only be stopped if the Democrats have a policy that's clear, that's opposed to the Republican policy, opposed to the MAGA policy, and they've organized people to support that, so that if a group of MAGA people infiltrate the party, they don't get anywhere, because the party membership is educated and convinced and won't stand for it. But that's not the way the party is organized.
Yeah. Well, you're giving Republicans an idea there.
I'm not so sure I'm giving them an idea. I think they're talking about it.
Well, yeah, I think that the main thing is the resistance to even wanting to be labeled as a Democrat. That they would have a hard time.
Well, Bannon would organize undercover SWAT team.
But this has occurred in Pennsylvania. If you remember, Arlen Specter got Democrats to register as Republicans in one of his races where he was being challenged. And I'm not sure whether it was the one that he lost or the one that before he lost. He eventually abandoned the Republican Party because he knew he couldn't win in the Republican primary. But he didn't even win the Democratic nomination at the last time. That was that admiral from down around Philadelphia. Kind of flamed out. But that had been tried. Specter had people switching over. I think it might have been his first race against Pat Toomey before Toomey eventually succeeded. So it can happen. That kind of mischief can happen.
It can happen, and it will happen. I don't see why it wouldn't happen.
It's got, organizationally.
The only way to prevent it from happening is if the Democrats start paying attention to policy and adopt policies and organize around those policies that benefit working people. And get attracted to that policy and support the Democrats because of that policy. And not because it's Joe Blow, and I like Joe Blow.
But when you poll Democratic policies, they're more popular, sometimes far more popular than Republican policies, but they just can't seem to sell it. Look.
But if they don't try, they certainly won't.
Yeah, but for instance, on some forms of gun control, the Democratic policies are more favored. Certainly on health care, the Democratic policies are far more favorable. And the Republicans now are going to attack. Certain things. For instance, they're going to attack the capping of insulin costs at $35 a month. The Republicans want to do away with that. It befuddles me.
They've already introduced legislation to do that.
Yeah.
What's the logic? How can they do that? What's the thinking there?
That's a good question, because it's not a popular position. But they don't care about that. They care about just exerting power and whether it hurts people or not.
Democrats have stood up in this last week and made a point about this. They did it this week.
None.
Exactly. None.
And there's a lawsuit now going on by one of these Republican-backed, somewhere in financed groups.
Out of Texas, comes out of Texas.
Of course, a Christian business that wants to attack the Affordable Care Act's providing of certain benefits without cost, like vaccines and preventative care type of things.
They oppose preventative HIV care. That's what they're against.
Yeah, because they see that as only helping homosexuals, and they don't want to help homosexuals.
That's right. And if they win the case, it's going to wipe out not just that. It's going to wipe out all of the preventive care that the Obamacare mandates.
Right. Certain examinations and certain other testing.
Yeah.
That you could get.
Yeah. Including the vaccines against COVID.
Yeah. Yep. Which they continue to try to sell as a hoax.
That's right.
That gets to their social media abilities and the Democrats' inability. The Democrats don't have anybody that can reach an audience like the Joe Rogans or Elon Musk. This blue sky doesn't seem to be cutting it as much. So we have but we keep talking about these same things.
But the way a party can overcome that is through its own party organization. I mean, if the party organizations were vibrant, lively groups instead of deadhead groups, if they were really groups instead of just paper groups, they would circumvent the social media because they would have their own base of people who would be active, and these people would have relatives and friends, and you're everywhere, and you reach everybody. You're not dependent upon a handful of fascist owners of media.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is that the people that they have to go out and reach are hearing that fascist media and are becoming resistant to their relatives. I used the example Ruth Ben-Gvir, who we know how strong she is about authoritarianism and things like that. Her own mother is a MAGA, and she can't convince her otherwise. No matter what, one-on-one that she has.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.